previously on Corporate Homie.
We are so excited to have the Erica Ward in the building. Erica is like the goddess of interior decorating and design.
My first love has been interior design and architecture, and I got that from my grandfather.
You don't need an interior decorator, you need workers.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
we are so excited to have not only an amazing mental health resource, but also a friend of mine, Dietra Martin, on the podcast with us this morning.
My parents support my career, but they ain't going to a therapist. That's not their ministry. Black people were trained years ago to repress, suppress, and keep it moving.
What's up, homies?
What up, homies?
Hey.
Oh, yes. Get in there.
That's right. Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo.
Woo, woo.
He lets me woo when we have guests.
Only when we have guests, because I don't want
them to. I said a woo, woo.
You get carried away. You know, you give a brother a rope. He don't want to play with the rope. He want to be a cowboy.
She doesn't normally let me whoop, but she lets me whoop when we have company.
Well, we are so excited.
You do your thing.
Thank you.
Well, we are so excited to have not only an amazing mental health resource, but also a friend of mine, Dietra Martin, on the podcast with us this morning. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, B&D, D&B.
I love it.
Yes. She is a friend. She's out here with the knickknacks.
With the knickknacks
on the podcast.
In a minute, she is a friend.
Yeah.
She's all in. I love it.
I took that liberty. I'm a D too. So I
took it. I love it.
Why don't you start by telling the homies just a little bit about your practice? I know that you are a marriage and family therapist, but if you want to tell them just a little bit, you know, about your practice, that'd be a good place to start.
Absolutely. Well, once again, thank you so much for having me. I love any kind of platform where I can discuss mental health in any capacity. So again, B&D, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity. So my practice is Protect Your Peace Therapeutic Services. I just wanted that particular name for my practice because I'm constantly always trying to find ways to protect my own peace. So I just wanted to actually put that out and saying, you know, if you are looking to protect your peace and your serenity, I'm your gal. But I actually started the practice when I got laid off from a mental health facility, inpatient treatment center for addiction. I was a family program director, and they laid everyone off for budget cuts. And then they asked me back. And then I went back and still with my practice. And then they laid us off again when COVID happened. And then that's when I came into full-fledged, just I'm going to do my own thing for myself, by myself, as a therapist. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. My practice, I am trained in all the modalities of depression, anxiety, bipolar depression, all of those things. I don't actually give the diagnosis as a psychiatrist, but I do know the realms and the spectrums that people lie on. But while I'm well-versed and trained in that, my actual specialty is marriage and family therapy. We particularly are trained and we study the family system, the origin of the family. We truly believe that how we behave as adults comes from what happened to us in our childhood, in our adolescents, our product of environment. We are products of our environment and our family of origin. So the family system theory really focuses in on how the family unit affects the individual as a whole. So that is what my particular specialty is. I've been in practice for over a year now and I absolutely love it.
Perfect. I mean, that introduction, Dietra, is such a perfect segue into why we wanted to have you on the show. I'm, you know, not sure how much you know, but the homies, anytime we talk about mental health, we always get a tremendous amount of feedback and have had a number of homies who, you know, didn't even think about therapy or mental health in this way. until the podcast, but you said a couple things that really drove this episode, which, so I'm so glad to hear that your specialty is the family, because everyone is home with their family, or they are isolated from their family because of coronavirus. And then you kind of couple that with general anxiety. I'll just speak from some things that are happening in my own family, right? So we all carry the virus differently. Everyone has a different opinion about what is safe. But then everyone
wants judgment around that.
Well, I'm about to say, but even before you get to the judgment, everyone wants to commune together, even though they have different definitions about what's safe. So it's like, I'm being safe, you're being safe, let's get together. But you're like, but I don't think you're safe. I don't think you're safe. Talk a little bit about just in general coronavirus, all the anxiety and how it's, you know, impacting families and the family unit as that you referred to.
So to be blunt, the coronavirus has affected families and have, quite frankly, jacked them up.
It's not a clinical term, but I'm going to
use it in my description. It's just,
the homies will know what you mean.
Yeah. We're picking up what you put down.
Because there's so much anxiety and depression going on that everyone is not knowing how to cope. So what I am seeing, number one, it couples greatly because the dynamic is everyone's working from home. There's no escape. You are now basically forced to be with your loved ones 24/7. So those little things that you could kind of get over before, now you're forced to deal with them. And now everything is getting on everyone's nerves. So it's just exacerbated things. It's affected couples deeply. The children, I just did a webinar with a bunch of teenage girls and how it has affected the kids. We have to understand that they're also stuck as well. They're not able to see their friends. They're only with their parents. So kids now have more anxiety because of it. And just the family unit alone, just trying to get more creative about how to be, even though you don't really want to be around these people all the time. And there's really no freedom to kind of escape. So everyone just kind of feels stuck. So that has contributed to anxiety. It has contributed to depression. It has contributed to catastrophic thinking and rumination. So it's been a lot of cognitive distortions. That's what we call in therapy, is cognitive distortions, when we have flaws in our thinking. And it has really just affected just our joy in life. Well,
I love what you said about the couples piece, because, mm-hmm. you know, I know, like, you know, even for me and my wife, we have different definitions of spending time together. Some in the coronavirus has like highlighted that. And what I mean by that, mm-hmm. like, for me, spending time together is like we're watching a movie, we're actively doing something together, we're on a bike ride together. And for her, it's like we're both in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if you're upstairs watching a show and I'm downstairs listening to music, to me, that's not spending time together, right? So just little stuff like that. And then, like you said, normally, you know, everybody gets a break from their family, even if it's to and from work on your commute. And, you know, Demetra talks about this, you know, getting that downtime to transition from like work mode to wife mode, or for some folks to mom mode, you know, whatever that may be. And now, you know, you, like Demetra likes to joke, like somebody comes home from work and is like, boom, like, what we eating for dinner, da da da. You're like, well, I haven't stopped working and I haven't
I'm still in my work day thing. That's we're how still he's the answer. He'll be like, yes. How was your day? I'll be like, still going.
Mm-hmm.
But we are very blessed in that we are newlyweds. So we are a corona couple. We got married in coronavirus. So all this together, we all about it. Like, we all about sitting up under each other, watching movies, eating popcorn. It's a great, I keep saying, quarantine is a great time to be a newlywed. Like, it's the best time. Cause you like, you don't get on my nerves. I like the way you breathe. You know what I mean? It's like, you knew it's fine. Like, we're good. And we're in a small space and we spent more time together, but I know it's cause love is young and new. So it's a good time to be a newlywed.
Have you found yourself encouraging people to find time for themselves, you know, individual time, whether that be a walk or, I mean, have you found yourself doing that to try to help people with all of this together?
And if not, what do you recommend for them to do as they look for time, you know, or ways to have some downtime?
One thing, again, with this transition is, just like you both said, it's like when you get off work, we typically have that ride home from work to decompress and get our thoughts together and just have some, for me, I used to call it, that's my mommy time or my free time. And now that doesn't exist anymore. So I do, for my overwhelmed parents, men and female, I do advise clients and people to find moments for yourself. Find moments where you have some time to decompress, take a walk. No is essential right now as it relates to even your kids and saying, okay, I love you kids, but this is mommy's gonna do some downtime right now. You guys read a book. Telling your husband, okay, babe, I'm going to run away from home for a little bit right now. I'm going to escape a bit. And hopefully your partner is understanding of your plight and allows you to do so. I run from home every Thursday. Every Thursday night, I'm allowed to run away from home. Morris allows me that time. And so I allow him, like right now, I ran away from home. I'm not home right now. I'm at my parents, but I'm giving him some time today on this Saturday, because you have to have moments to just breathe and reflect and decompress. And you sometimes, even Demetria, even as a newlywed, you may feel like you don't need that time, but I would advise sometimes you just allow yourself to just have some moments to yourself to just kind of reflect and decompress and just really just breathe a bit and just get yourself together and get centered and then re-engage with the people in your household. But it is essential right now to just have moments to yourself.
How do the homies know if they're suffering from quarantine blues or like regular blues?
Or is there a difference?
Or is there a difference?
Yes. So with social distance, okay, there is a difference between being socially isolated and being alone. Okay. So social isolation is the physical separation from other people, right? It's, you know, say living alone, while loneliness is sometimes a distressed feeling of being alone or separated. So again, it is possible to feel lonely while among other people, and you can be alone yet not feel lonely. But loneliness is not just a feeling, it's a biological warning from your body to seek out other people. So
I love what I'm saying?
You have to
it's
listen.
It's a warning.
It's a biological warning.
A biological warning.
Yes. From your body to seek out other people, because human connections are important to survive and thrive. And your body knows this. So when this happens, you need to do a Skype or a Zoom or call a family member, check in. That's your body's way of letting you know, okay, I need some type of human connection, because isolation can really hinder you. It can definitely contribute to depression.
You know, I always joke that, you know, I was born on a team, obviously identical twins. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of quarantine was incredibly difficult for me. I am what anybody would classify as an extreme extrovert. And like, I just needed people, right? And even more so than I'm more of an extrovert than even Demetria is. And, you know, and
way
then
more.
And then, you know, my wife is an extreme introvert. So I was literally driving her crazy. Like, and not in a
I remember way, saying that but, to her, like, oh, it's the quarantine. It's the time for introverts to shine. And she said, not when the extroverts are home with you.
And she was just like, I can't talk to you that much. Like, I can't. And then she's like, I can't keep going upstairs and like hiding from you in a bedroom watching TV. But I picked up, you know, some outdoor hobbies. Like I picked up cycling, and I have some girlfriends that cycle with me. So we were able to do that outside safely. And I was surprised at how much it lifted my spirit just being around people. So it's good to know, though, that that's like everybody has different things, and it's not like, oh, you're just being ridiculous. Like certain people need different things.
And I want to come back, because that sort of brings me back to, I think, a question I had asked, but I think I compounded it. Mm-hmm. What do we do, like, as family members, as friends, as sisters, cousins, daughters, sons, when someone wants to spend time with us, but we're like, I'm social media friends with you. You was at a restaurant. I don't want to do that. What's the best way to sort of set your boundaries, show your loved ones you love them, you miss them, but when people have different ideas about what's safe, because most people, the reason why they don't want to hang out or they do want to hang out is a safety factor of whether they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice with that? Or are you seeing that as just a common thing? Because I know a lot of people who are struggling with that.
Full transparency, I'm one of those people that will look at where you've been and be like, no, I you were just at a restaurant. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I'll tell my mama that. So
well, anybody, you know, everybody can catch a boundary.
First thing we have to understand is we cannot expect ourselves from other people. And if everyone
that's a whole that, word.
He just keeps dropping little quotes. You cannot expect yourself from other people. I felt that for somebody.
But yes,
we felt that.
I felt that for me.
I'm glad you felt it. But no, I have to remind myself of that every day. And I'm a therapist. But if we move on to that, do not expect yourselves from other people. So that way you're not disappointed. You don't have all of these expectations set upon people and yourself. So to answer your question with that mentality, you have to respect people's boundaries. Boundaries are not popular, but therefore protection. So therefore, no is a complete sentence, and you should never feel regret for standing true to how you're feeling. Because guess what? If you don't necessarily do what you say or how you feel, then you end up going, then you may resent the entire experience because you weren't honest with yourself. So
any church organ should be playing right now.
And the Bible says you need to respect a boundary. But it's true. We talk about that a lot. I'm so glad to hear you say that. One of Corporate Homie's favorite slogans is no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
But we have found that while homies are very good at setting boundaries with friends and coworkers and fraternity brothers and sorors, it's harder to set a boundary with your sister, with your brother, with your, you know, cousin, your mama, and to say your mother-in-law, right? To say to you, like, I love you, but I'm not comfortable. I mean, literally, I had a friend the other day who said, you know, my husband wanted to throw me a party and it was supposed to be a car parade. And then the next thing I know, everybody jumped out their cars and they were in the house. And like, I felt like I was itching. And I remember, you know, saying to her, like, but how did the people get in your house that you didn't want in your house? Like, but it was her husband, right? So it's like, it's his house too.
That's a real thing. Cause like we try to do something similar. And that's one of the things that I was like, well, I want to do the car parade, but I'm like, we live at the end of the street. And we live at the end of the street off of a busy street. So I'm like, that's going to be difficult. And I'm like, I don't want to do like a social distance thing in the backyard, because I knew our friends well enough to know they will end up in the house. Right. Like, and that's not what we wanted. And it still didn't work. What happened is, you know, we put out a chair for her mother, obviously. You know, she's older. And then next thing you know, I had a chair for her. And then everybody
had a chair.
Yeah. And so it ended up being like, you know, 8 or 9 people in the driveway, you know, and then one person brought their little person, young, you know, young human, and was like, oh, can she use the restroom? Well, I'm not going to tell a toddler that she can't use the restroom. Yeah. And then next thing I know, somebody else was trying to come in the house. And I'm like, look, we really don't want anybody in the house. And I could see the person like, well, I just wanted to use the restroom. I'm like, yeah, but you're a grown man. You know, like, you can't, it just was,
and that's
like,
why when we had our car parade, they had the parade on by. Nobody was in the drop.
But no, I'm saying, for me, I hate confrontation. So I just felt like a complete jerk, you know, because it's like you've invited somebody over here, but then you're like giving them the Heisman. It was very uncomfortable.
A lot of people do not like confrontation. You know, everyone has different communication styles. Everyone handles things differently. So again, during this time though, I think as God has put us in this time out, that's what I'm calling this time. I think we were all just placed in time out, and just, I think he was trying to tell us, you know, reflect and sit still and see what y'all want out of this life, because y'all tripping. So, you know, during this time out, I think right now, even if you do not, if you're not comfortable with confrontation, the importance is understanding that people are going to get over it. If they're upset in that moment, it's fleeting. It's not forever, you know, and if there is some feelings or a miscommunication, or if there's some residual resentment from that moment where you said, no, I'm sorry, sweetie, you're not coming in this house. You know, if you feel the energy later on, talk to them about it and say, I hope you weren't taken aback by that, but I really just wanted to make sure that we're abiding by safety rules because, you know, my mother-in-law, she's elderly, you know, there's significant health issues, and you know, it's about you being comfortable with the uncomfortableness of setting boundaries. And the more you do it, you become more comfortable in it.
That but makes again, complete sense. And I love that you're saying, like, again, like, you've got to sort of be the one communicating. And you also were saying that when you're lonely, you know, like that you need to call somebody, you take a step.
I would be proactive almost.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was anything else that you thought, if someone thinks like, I am not feeling like myself, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling more sad, or, you know, than normal, if they suspect that they're getting the quarantine blues, what do you suggest? I know you said sort of getting a Zoom call or call. Is there anything else you suggest if someone thinks they might be suffering from quarantine blues and they've never known themselves to kind of suffer from bluesy behavior before?
So if you are experiencing some blues and some lows that you're not able to pull yourself out of immediately like you typically may do, definitely if you're over Zooming and the electronic piece, which I am as well, but then the first thing I will always say is tell someone how you're feeling. Tell someone. If you don't live with someone, call someone and let them know how you're feeling, okay? Don't hide from the blues is what I always say. Acknowledge what you're feeling.
How do people get over the vulnerability of
or
that,
shame?
Right?
Or feel, yeah.
Because, you know, the worst adjective we have for Black women is strong, you know?
Don't get me started.
So how do we overcome the, it's okay to say, I feel sad today. It's okay. I mean, that's real, right? Because that's why people are not doing it. They don't want to be vulnerable. They're afraid to be vulnerable. They've never done that. How do we help them get over that? Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And that is the stigma that's attached to therapy, and equating vulnerability with weakness is something that we have to reframe and, quite frankly, heal from. Because this superwoman cape that Black
and
women
gave it to us. Who created the phrase strong Black woman? Because let's go back into the Lovecraft country time machine and get them. That's awful.
Well, it's a transgenerational curse is what I call it. It's transgenerational.
Ooh, I love somebody.
Because we are first generation. And my mother, we and I just had this discussion. Everyone on this call is first generation exploring feelings and talking about feelings and mental health. Our parents didn't do that. My parents
are still don't. And my mama still
don't. They're not for now. They're not right. Now.
They don't do that. My parents support my career, but they ain't going to a therapist. That's not their ministry. That's not what they do. They went to church and they kept it all in the family. You keep your business to yourself and you just
family
deal.
Business.
You just deal.
You and Jesus.
And that equates to strength if you can just sit in it and just deal
endure.
And persevere.
Endure. That's what we say all the time. Endure.
And we're now, our generation is saying, we're tired of normalizing dysfunction and putting a face on it as that is strength because I'm dealing with mess. That's not strength, that's toxic. And that toxicity is something that we are passing on generation upon generation. That is transgenerational trauma, and it's a transgenerational curse.
It's interesting you say that because Demetria was talking to one of our mom's good friends, and she was saying, you know, something about how her daughter-in-law was saying she needed a break from the kids. And she was like, you know, when I was raising my kids, you know, I didn't need a break. You know, I had my kids every day and it was fine. And Demetria said, well, maybe you needed a break and you just didn't know it. Like you didn't have somebody to give you that outlet. Like, and just because somebody wants a day does not make them like a bad mom. But to your point, generationally speaking, I mean, she was like appalled that her daughter-in-law would want to have like a day to herself, not a year, not a week, not a month, a day, which probably equated to like 4 hours when we're really honest, right? It's like, you know, we ain't even talking about like you gone from, you know, 8 to 5 or something like that. So anyway, it was just.
Yeah, I saw something recently and it was very similar to what you're saying, and was saying that extreme independence is a trauma response.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were never meant to live alone. We were never meant to figure everything out alone. And actually, even culturally, most cultures, not like Black culture, Latino country culture, Asian culture, what was supposed to have a village, was supposed to have multiple people around helping you figure out and help you move through your life. And you're not supposed to be able to do it on your own. And so I'm really glad to hear you say that, because we definitely grew up where therapy was allowed, right? And we didn't have the stigma with therapy, but I realized that it wasn't supposed to help you through your everyday struggles. Therapy was supposed to help you if something traumatic happened to you. And so it was sort of like when we started going just to go for like mental health.
Did somebody die?
Well, what is it that you're dealing with that you're in therapy? Like, what is going on that you need to be there? And you're like, I don't have anything going on to go to the gym, but I go because I want to be physically strong. Look, ain't nothing wrong in my marriage. I'm good with my mama. I'm talking to my sister, but that's why I'm healthy.
Let me speak on that, my friends and the homies. So can we just say amen on everything you both just said? That's number one. Number two, back in the day, therapy or any type of therapeutic element, it was for the people who was touched, who were crazy. Then there was the directive of, again, we don't put our business in the streets. So Black people were trained years ago to repress, suppress, and keep it moving. And so that meant that you were strong. We have to be in survival mode all the time.
All the time.
Generation from generation. We don't talk about feelings. We survive. And
well, think about how many times people get up and shout out some woman. And being like, you know, she's been with this man when he was on drugs, after he got locked up, he had a baby on her because, you know, she's a writer. And all I think to myself is, why are we deemed to struggle of?
But also when
she
we
have
were
to
growing
endure
up,
to be loved.
To Dietrich's point, when we were growing up, I mean, not us, all of us, right? One of the things that they taught you as a kid is nobody cares what you think, what you want, or how you feel, right? Like, just be quiet.
Yeah.
Right. And you carry that into adulthood. You know?
Yes. Yes. No, absolutely. But this is the element of just understanding that. I love what you both said as far as the independence piece. Okay, we all have a sense of independence and knowing how to do for ourselves. But the fact of the matter is that when someone says, well, I did this myself, I raised these kids myself. Okay, was that your choice or was that your circumstance?
Would you want someone else to do that?
Nobody gave me $1 when I was in college. You're like, okay, but
right.
Was that hard?
Right. Was that your choice or was that your circumstance? I don't think anyone chooses to raise kids ultimately
alone.
By themselves. Sometimes it happens. Granted, right. There's some women who did actively choose to say, you know, I'm single, I want a child, so I'm going to go through the proper channels to do so. But it doesn't mean that they still don't have a village that helps them.
That's right.
And I would say, even they usually don't want to do it alone.
Right. So let's understand that there's a difference between choice and circumstance, and don't poo-poo on people who say, I need a break. You know, I can guarantee that person that said that I need a break raising my kids, you a daggone lie.
I wonder if your children would agree. I bet your children felt like there were times you were overly, you know, irritated.
Right.
You were short and snappy, and I bet you your children felt like there were times that you needed a break. And I, you know, I just so enjoy this conversation. I feel like we could talk you to death, but just really loving, you know, as some takeaways, just really reminding the homies, first of all, that it's okay to communicate whatever you're feeling, yes. right? Whether you're feeling anxious about the virus, or you're feeling, you know, and you need to tell people, I'm not going to come to that because I just don't feel safe, right? Like, it's just me, or I'm feeling lonely. I had a friend who did that recently, and I, who am tend to be very like, don't come over, don't. She called me and said, I'm struggling. I've been by myself and I'm down. And I said, come over, right? Like, because we have to balance our physical health with your mental health. And like, if you're feeling like that, let's crack this bubble open a little bit. Let's sit outside and let's, you know, get you some connections. So I really love that. So I'm taking that. I'm taking communication away, you know, communicating our feelings. I'm about like how I'm feeling, whether that be anxiety or isolation or the blues. Right. I'm also taking away like, it's okay to have a village. And in fact, if you don't have you a village, we always say at the end of the episode, get you a twin, get you a village.
Get you a village. You know, also what I love the ownership piece, like you said, like it's up to you to tell people how you feel, what you need. And then the last thing that I really took from it is that whole, you cannot expect yourself from other people. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a whole word for life. You know, like,
yes,
I always joke that one reason why people don't really let me down is I expect them to be who they are. Right. So like, there are certain people that I would never call if I had a flat tire, because I know that they're going to go run an errand before they come get me. And so that I'm not ticked off, like I just would never call them. Right. And so I really just, I'm like, okay, this person is not going to, we have a joke even in my friend groups about certain people. You're like, oh, you know, so-and-so, she's flaky. So when she says she's coming to something, when she shows up, you're like, hey, that's great. And when she doesn't, you're like, she's flaky. Like, I'm mad, right? If that was something that would make me mad, I wouldn't be friends with her, because I expect her to be who she is, if that makes sense. So I think that definitely got to have you back.
Yes, we do.
And I think what I'm going to put this out here, we never do this, I think we should do a live one with you where the homies can ask questions real time. So we have to get with James on. Figuring out exactly how to do that. But tell the homies where they can find you, your website, your social handles. Let the homies know where they can find you.
If you do virtual appointments, if you're taking clients, things
or like the that. Calm app or whatever you're on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Before I give my info, just last thing I want to say is, homies, right now, compassion and grace for yourselves is essential and towards others. So, you know, just really show some grace and have some patience for how you're handling this experience, because no one has ever handled a pandemic before. So you're doing the best that you can. So again, cut yourself some slack during this time. Okay. Be kind to yourselves. There's no rule book to this, literally. So again, just show some grace to yourselves. Okay. You can find me at protectyourpeacetherapy.com. Okay, I have a business page on Instagram and Facebook platforms. Right now, all of my sessions are 100% virtual, still maintaining that distance and space piece. And again, you can catch me on all social media platforms, but again, it's protectyourpeacetherapy.com. And you can book and schedule on the site as well. It has my business line, so you can email me or call and ask questions, but it's protectyourpeacetherapy.com.
Well, thank you so much. And we really, really appreciate it. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
The All of You Get You a Twin, Get You Another Homie.